Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. Folks, we're talking about how a black mom says her daughters were expelled from a Christian school for having different fathers. According to Ms. Summer Grant, she said there were many reasons, and the main one that was told to her by the pastor, Pastor John Wilson, was that she was not married and her children had different fathers. Now, Ms. Grant has two daughters, Samara and Samaya, who are in the second and fourth grades, respectively, and they attend this private Christian school. Let me tell you something, folks. This conversation got me and my team going back and forth, trying to figure it all out, trying to sort through this. This is a very, very sticky subject. Very sticky subject, because this is not just about what the Bible says. This is not just about what the pastor did or what the mother wants to happen. This is not even really just about what's good for the children. This is about all of that. It's not just one thing. It's about all of that. And I think that there are so many pieces to this. There's the pieces of judgment, the judgments that we find religious institutions making, right? Religious authority or figures making. There is the piece about, you know, what are the realistic expectations that we have of our faith institution? Do you want your faith institution to speak on your personal matters? I don't know anybody that goes to church, mosque, synagogue, or whatever faith institution you go to just not allow them to speak into your heart, your soul, your spirit, to speak into your personal life. Not about your professional life, your personal life. And then if we got to have a real conversation about what are the expectations, and then looking at the bigger picture, this is not just about Chapel Hill Christian School in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. This is about the community. The community. Should there be certain standards of the community that we live by? Because right now, it doesn't seem like there are many standards other than just do you. Should there be a deeper standard? Should there be some rules and regulations if we look at it from taking it from the church setting to the community setting? I mean, a lot of questions. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. They've been well lit. Monica, West Baltimore, what's your take? Thank you for your patience.
Thanks for having me. The first thing I want to do is I just want to say, you know, judgment aside and religion aside, I want to take us to a whole nother level. What I see us having in incident after incident in these private Christian evangelical schools, Catholic schools, what I see happening over and over again is little black kids are being denied the right to be at these schools. But on the other hand, what you have going on is Betsy DeVos and the Secretary of Education mm-hmm. is trying to take our taxpaying dollars mm-hmm. and create a so-called voucher program and send our taxpaying dollars into these private institutions. And once our taxpaying dollars go into these private institutions, we don't have a right to say anything. And some of the women and the sisters, they want the best for their kids. But what these schools will do is they might take 1, 2, 3, 5 little black kids. They don't really want them there anyway.
Yeah.
So when you have a black kid that's got braids in her hair, they're going to tell her, you can't be in this school with those cornrows.
Yeah.
If you got a black kid that wants to graduate at one of these schools, they're going to tell them, you can't wear that traditional African garb
yeah.
because we don't accept that here. This is white supremacy wrapped up in evangelical Christian ideology. And they pushing it.
And Monica.
Yes, sir.
No, in that case, you're absolutely right. I think that there's some other stuff that's happening there. But in this case, if the pastor is saying, you know, look, you know, as of right now, according to the reports, this is not the pastor doesn't seem to have a pattern of treating black girls differently than white students and whatnot. But what we're looking at is that the pastor is just simply saying you are not living a righteous life, quote unquote, according to the Bible. Therefore, we don't need you as part of our society. So if you know, when we talk about those things, you know, and again, we can look at and try to, you know, prognosticate and build, and but sin is basically transgression of God's law, right? So when we get into that space, and if we start looking at that, I mean, who better? And I'm just throwing it out there. Who better to correct the moral and spiritual wrongs other than the church? Now, certainly the girls are going to be at the expense of it, but there is a scripture in the book that says that the sins of the father and the mother will be carried or put on the shoulders of the children. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Clay. Glen Burnie, what's your take?
Mr. Muhammad, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can. Clay, you're welcome, brother.
Well, first of all, I don't appreciate you taking my thunder, because I was just about to say, why in God's name are the children being punished for the sins, so-called sins, of the mother and the father? Can you remember when you did something wrong, Mr. Muhammad?
Come on, man. Come on, brother.
Okay. I ain't trying to put you out there.
I don't.
I ain't trying to put you out there. But can you imagine you and your family and your child and or children being denied access to the Nation of Islam because of something you and your wife have done in the past?
Yeah. Unfortunately, and you know what the unfortunate part about this, Clay? That's what we do. That is unfortunately, and you know why? And I think more so than anything, because I've been blessed with this platform, and if I did something real crazy, and y'all heard about it, right? You'll be like, them Muslims, that dude is not who he say he is. Blah, blah, blah. Yakety smack. And that's the unfortunate part about it.
And Mr. Muhammad, I'm not going to take up any more of your time, I'm going to end on this note. If this lady gets a good lawyer, guess what? That's not going to be a Christian school anymore, because she's going to sue the bejesus out of that school. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you, Clay, for checking in as always. Let's go to Karen, Baltimore. Karen, thank you for your patience. What's your take, ma'am? Karen? We got Karen on the line. Yep, Karen.
No.
Oh, we got you, Karen. We can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, ma'am. Okay, it looks like we lost. Okay. Karen, give us a call. Bite back. Certainly interested in hearing what your thoughts are about this. Gerald in South Baltimore. Gerald, what's your take on it, sir? Gerald? It looks like we got an issue. All right. Let's make sure. Hey, Gerald, make sure you give us a call right back. I know you've been waiting patiently. Give us a call right back. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Warren, Baltimore. Warren, what's your take?
Hello, Raj. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you, Mr. Warren?
Good. I'm doing well.
Good. What's your take on this, Mr. Warren?
I don't know. I'm listening to the calls. I'm listening to you. I'm listening about different religions and how they operate. I mean, I'm a little confused. What is everybody is self-righteous, and if you make a mistake, you condemn. You don't. I'm thinking all the institutions are there to help people to straighten their life out, to have a better life, to correct whatever what was done wrong, not to set and ridicule or to put these people down because they made mistakes.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that the mosque, the church, the synagogue, all of it, that was the reason to do what God had set out to do.
Yep.
And so it just seemed like now, today, listen to a lot of these people talking. It's like, oh, well, you know, you dance, you do, dance, you don't. I mean, because the mother had two different fathers, I'm pretty sure there's a hell of a lot of people in the world like that. Families with two different fathers, maybe three different fathers.
Right.
I mean, that don't make the mother any less than a woman that have one child or no children.
No. I think that, and I'm just saying, Mr. Warren, I'm sure you have heard this, that when a woman makes those type of decisions, she is judged. She is ridiculed. She is ostracized.
Yeah, but...
Not by the church. I'm talking about the people in the community.
I mean, but the community, they didn't stone Murray. did they? They didn't stone Murray, did they? I'm just having a hard time with this one, trying to understand.
Well, I think, I think, Mr. Warren, I appreciate you for checking in as always, sir. But I think the big thing is, trying to figure out, like, what is the path that we should be taking. I want to talk to my brother, who I've known for some years now, who serves as actually a pastor. He is a pastor. So I'm happy that he was able to check in and join us for this conversation. Dr. Lawrence Richardson. Pastor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
It's good. It's always good to hear from you, brother.
Man, thank you, man. I'm listening often at you. So thank you for the impact that you're making on community.
Oh, brother, I hope so.
I believe through your efforts and our efforts, we can make the beloved community. So I wanted to say thank you before I said anything.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate it. So, Pastor, you are a pastor. The situation, a pastor puts out a woman who has two children, two different baby fathers. And so I'm wondering, you know, how do we reconcile all of this? Because some people are saying that you should not judge. But then there's the other side of it, which is saying that the church is not judging, but the church is trying to follow the law that is set in the Bible. Can you give us some insight on this, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If we want to go to the Word of God, then we can do that. But I don't really necessarily want to go there yet because my children have been enrolled in Christian school, and anyone that has enrolled their children in Christian school, one of the things that you are mandated is you have to sign behavior documents. They give you the things that if your children or if you do these things, you will be put out of the school.
So that's a real document.
That's a real document. You can't get around getting in Christian school. Every Christian school my children have been in, and they've been in three. Every one of them. And I'm talking about it's not just initially when you put your kids in. I'm talking about like every quarter. Every time you renew your contract, you got to sign that behavior form. So I'm sure this school has a behavior form, number one. All right, number two.
It does, and it does. That's exactly what they mentioned in the statement.
There's parts of this story that we don't know, but we hear hints of, that I think we're jumping to what has happened that we know of,
yes,
that we're condemning pastors and we're condemning the church. And what we don't know is we hear that they say two or three things. This is not the only thing we're putting her out for, but it is the main thing. So it sounds like there has been behavior patterns.
Mm.
So what I want to do is I want to go now look at that school's document, and I want to find out what's the report. But more likely, we're not going to find out what she did, because that's privacy, and they can't disclose what she's done.
Pastor, you must have wrote the statement for them.
No, real talk.
No, I know you did. Because that's exactly what they said in their guy and their statement that it was presented by Pastor John Wilson.
They said, while
we believe it would be wrong to make public the particular circumstances that led to this separation out of concern for the privacy of the family, we also felt that dismissal was necessary in order to protect the safety of our school children and
their
families.
Right there, that's a statement right there. There is something that has happened that somebody's safety became in danger. I don't know if somebody got in a fight. I don't know if there was an argument. But right there, that's the tell statement. But here is the other part. Let's go to the church.
Let's go.
Matthew 18, Paul talking to the church at Corinth. We are able to excommunicate people. We are able to put people out the church because of behavior. Mm. So all these people that are talking about don't judge, don't put people out, well, there are guidelines when you join the church, the mass. And to create a Christian community, there are behaviors that you can't accept unless you don't want a Christian institution.
So, that's a big statement, Pastor.
So, that's a big statement. When you go to the Bible, you can put somebody out of a church biblically. Biblically. Mm. Behavior. So all these people that's talking stuff that they don't know, they throwing out Matthew 7:1, don't judge. Absolutely. But it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And then it says, further in that text, First thing you need to do is get the mote out of your own eyes. Then when you get the mote out of your own eyes, then you can go get the mote out of somebody else's eye. What that is inferred is then you can then go judge. But we don't read the whole text, so we don't understand context.
So the church can put someone out biblically for certain behavior.
Biblically.
So let me ask you.
One of the things that happen when you join new members, most churches take you through what are the bylaws? What are the tenets of our faith? What will get you put out?
So in a situation like this, though, Pastor, because we see that this is a ongoing circumstance we find in our community where you have single mothers with children and they have different, you know, the children have different fathers. Would that be considered a behavior that the church may put out, or is that really based upon that specific church?
That's probably that particular church. But here again, it sounds like she's. And again, I don't know, so I don't really like to assume here. But it sounds like she signed those behavior documents in one status. And I think the pastor said they had a conversation to find out what's going on with her.
Yep.
So it sounds like her status changed and they did not know and then they found out. That's what it sounds like. So if your status changed, then you're supposed to be reviewed. What is your current status? And if your status don't meet our standard, then we don't accept you. And we can put you out. Most folks don't know because they never go to a new member class that the church can put you out biblically. Biblically. Bible, book, verse, and check this out. And the law will back you if you have it in your tenets and if you have it in your bylaws. The law will back you. Can't nobody sue you.
Wow.
So all these people that say you're going to get, the pastor going to get sued, they don't know what they talk about. They have no understanding of how a church functions, how a mosque functions, how any religious organization that is established as a non-profit organization and is recognized by the government. You can't just come up in the church and do what you want to. And guess what? These people ain't letting nobody come up in their school and do what they want to. They're trying to establish a Christian school with Christian behavior.
So that leads me to my next question then, Pastor. Do you think that folks have a very realistic view of the role of the church? Because
no.
I've had conversations.
Absolutely
you
not.
Said no. I didn't
Absolutely not. I'm not going to let you say this. No, they ain't got no clue. I'm sorry.
No, Pastor. We good. We good.
Sorry,
No. But I'm just saying because I hear, even when I talk to young people, you know, the hard thing about young people that they say, you know what, all of that, you know, you got to fall in line. You have to be a certain way, dress a certain way, think a certain way. That becomes a real issue for young believers in particular. So you're saying that people don't have a very realistic view of the role of church in their life?
They don't have a realistic view of church. They don't have a realistic view of Jesus. They don't have a realistic view. And I will take responsibility. Part of it is, it is us church painting a picture of what we are not. We are not a country club. We not come joined and have it your way. We are come joined and be made into a disciple of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be. Now, I'll take responsibility. A lot of times we don't display that. But that's what we're supposed to be. Go read about Jesus. One of the things towards the end of his life that we see that is profound to me is that the crowds are now leaving. And the 12 that were most committed to him, this is what he asked him. Will you two leave me? Why does he ask that? He asked that because now he's not doing miracles. He's no longer feeding them with bread and loaves. And now he's making demands. Follow me. Eat of my body. Drink of my blood. Can you die the death that I'm going to die? And when that goes down, most leave because that ain't what they signed up for. They signed up for the loaves and the bread. Oftentimes, we want to take our children. I'm going to go back to our example.
Right.
We want to take our children to Christian schools so they can get the Christian values, but we don't want to maintain the Christian standard even in our own homes. And that's problematic.
I think that's the hard pill right there, Pastor.
It's very hard.
I think that's the hard pill right there. And I think
most
that could be applied in both Christian, Islam, or any other religion.
Absolutely.
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 Yeah.
Man, I thank you for letting me talk, man.
Hey, Pastor.
You gave me a homework assignment. I'm going to research.
The school is called Chapel Hill Christian School in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
Thank you, my brother. Love
hey,
you, man.
Love you,
up,
too.
Man.
Dr. Lawrence Richardson, folks, from Living Waters World. Church here in Baltimore, Dr. Lawrence Richardson. Man, oh, man. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Heard what the pastor say. Man, oh, man. Patrick Scientific from Audio Infusion checking in. What's your take, sir?
Hey, I have a question about this. I think sometimes it's the way it's presented, but people always are calling them Catholic schools, Christian schools, Islamic schools. Why don't we just say they're private schools that are run by Catholic organizations and or whatever?
No, because it's a difference. There's a difference.
I mean, it's a private school. That's what I'm saying. So they get to do whatever they feel like doing.
No, but that's a difference. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's not the institutions, it's not the faith of the administrators that makes those schools, a Christian or Islamic school. But it's really because that school is an outgrowth of the church or an outgrowth of the mosque. So the principles that run the principles and the very tenets and guidelines of that church or that mosque or that that synagogue is the same tenets that guidelines that are used within the school system. There are certainly some changes, but it's not personal, it's institutional.
I'm not trying to disagree with you, but
no,
just
sure.
To say that, hey, this is a private school run by a church. And I would
run by Christians.
Hold on, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Let me finish. If it's a private school run by a Catholic church, I would assume that there'd be some Catholic bylaws in the organization of the school.
We don't know if it's Catholic though, Patrick. And matter of fact, let me just check. Let me just double check. I'm gonna ask Alex if we can get
you said Christian and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's a private school run by a Christian organization, that organization can be a church, then what would you expect out of that school? So therefore it's still a private institution.
Right.
And they have their own laws. If it's a public institution, then you can't just kick someone out because of some other type of, I don't want to say like if you have two babies, mamas or something like that. You can't do that in a public institution.
No.
But in a private institution, you can do that. Therefore,
I want us to be very clear for those callers. My son, if your son or your daughter goes to a private school, that's one thing. They can still, but if it's a private Christian school, then that's, as the pastor just said, Dr. Lawrence Richardson, then biblically they can put you out because it's based upon Christian tenets and guidelines. That's the difference. So if a mother who
I don't
is...
see a difference.
Okay, all right.
If it's a private school, they can put you out for whatever reason.
Well, they could. I mean, technically, yes, school. You're right. But I'm saying for this reason...
And that's all I'm saying.
For this reason, if it's a Christian school and they have you sign a form that you have to abide by certain rules and you have to have a certain types of behaviors, then and you don't follow those rules from a Christian perspective, they have the right. That's what I'm saying. This is what this school is based on. Again, that's just what the pastor just said. It's a Christian school.
Here's the question. If the school was run by a bunch of atheists and they still made you sign that form, based on that form, they could still kick you out. I don't think it has anything to do with the religion of the people that are running the school. It's just, it's private.
I got you. Patrick, my man, Patrick Scientific, checking out on Audio Fusion here on WEAA. Folks, I got to take a final break. When we come back, Carolyn, Francis, GQ from DC, and Clarence want to get your thoughts. Folks are blowing up my Facebook page with their comments. I'm going to share with you their comments as well. As we continue to talk about this, Black mom says her daughters were expelled from a Christian school for having different fathers. We just talked to Dr. Lawrence Richardson and get his take as a pastor that he stands by this folk by the decision. Saying, look, if she had some issues at the school, her status changed, they have every right to put her out. And it's not just about not having compassion. It's about not following the rules. Let's go back. Let's take a quick pause. When we come back, a lot more of your calls, your comments. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back, folks.
I do this for my culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. Man, having a very, very hot conversation. My goodness. As we talk about what this black mom is going through as her daughters were expelled from a Christian school for having different fathers. Let's go back to the phone lines. Carolyn, thank you for your patience. What's your take, ma'am? Carolyn? Yes, ma'am, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm good. But I think the whole situation is sad.
Mm.
I really think it's sad because the preacher, if he stands before God, God's going to judge him. So he's going to really be held accountable for what he did to her. God gave us a free will, regardless of what choices we make. He is the forgiver. He said he will forgive you 7 times 7 over and over and over. And it is not about an institution.
Right.
It is not, because Mary Magdalene stood before Jesus, and she had a lot of menace in the Word of God. And Jesus told her, any of you without sin, cast the first stone.
So are you saying that do you feel like this school overstepped their bounds, that they do not have the power to put
They're judging her. Regardless of what mistake she made, God is the only judge. And
that
pastor,
you're right.
He's going to be held accountable for what he did to her. The standards come from God, but God he's not into all of he's a spirit. You worship him in spirit. You have a personal relationship with him. That's why we live in Revelation now, because people don't know how. People in the church, they don't even know how to treat people. They the main ones. They treat you worse than the people in public.
Sure, I got you. So
I'm a Christian, and I know.
Sure. And here's the thing.
So that pastor, he's going to be, that pastor who put her out.
Yes, ma'am.
Believe me, he's going to reap what he sowed, and he's going to be held accountable for what he did to her.
Well, let me ask you. We just had Dr. Lawrence Richardson on just a few moments ago. He's a pastor, and he admitted that he has gone to put his children in 3 private Christian schools, and they all have had them, the parents, sign a form about things that you can particularly get put out of the school for, certain type of behaviors. My question is, if that's the case, if that seems to be the trend for a private Christian institution.
You know why?
Yes, ma'am.
You know why? Because people are religious. Religion is killing the body of Christ. God don't set them laws. They man laws. Jesus ain't about that.
But and I'm just throwing it out there because I want us to make sure that we understand.
Religion.
Let me ask you a question, Carolyn. Would you say that the Bible, in some cases, is a book of laws? I mean, Moses had the law. Jesus, came to fulfill the law.
Yeah, God has the law. God has his laws, but he doesn't judge you like that.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm a Christian. God doesn't. I have made mistakes. I was a single mom. I raised my daughter. But God has blessed me. I have a person. She's a spirit.
Gotcha. All right,
she's
Carol.
A spirit. All right, then.
Hey, no, I appreciate you, Carolyn, for checking in the sharing.
Okay, then.
And I'm glad that we're having this conversation. I really am glad that we're having this conversation, folks. And I know it's very, very tough. But at the same time, again, just looking at the complexities of this particular conversation, as well as how do we make sure that we don't get into one space when it comes to the church, because as I mentioned before, it has a certain connotation. But then when it comes to the community, all that stuff goes out the window. We just acting like, ooh, God who? You know what I mean? We don't judge in the church. The church shouldn't judge. But we get back home next to our neighbor. We judging. We are Captain Judgy. Miss and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. Judgy. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. Let's go to GQ out of D.C. GQ, what's your take, sir?
Judgy. Mr. and Mrs. GQ,
turn your radio down for me.
319-8888.
All right, GQ, we got to let you go. Give us a call back so we can hear you loud and clear. Let's go to Clarence, Northwest Baltimore. Clarence, what's your take?
Hey, thanks for taking the call for Raji. You know, I was content until the pastor came on. No disrespect to the pastor.
Okay.
But he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That extends to the individual, and that extends to the body of the church also. Okay? That's all I'm going to say in reference to that.
All right.
But I'd like to remind one person said a bunch of atheists running the church with a negative commutation to it. I would encourage everybody, atheists, when you're speaking in reference to people who don't believe in God, not to do that. Because atheists can turn around and say, bunch of Christians, bunch of movies. Also, you don't do anything but compound the animosity and sometimes hatred among the different factions. And let me remind you of something else. Belief in God was around an extremely long time before any of the religions, okay? That seems to be one thing that they forgot here. Now, when you talk about religion, Faraji, let me say this to you.
Sure.
You don't love your children or your child because you have not accepted a certain God, okay? Your marriage is not valid because you have not accepted a certain God. When you're sitting at your own kitchen table and you're teaching your child to read or some mathematics and they come in and they say, why are you teaching that child that stupid stuff because a certain God is going to come back and change everything? Or also various things like that. You know, see, the canon, when you decide that you're going to run your life based on the canon as opposed to what you intuitively know what's right, you're going to always have these problems. You know, this whole conversation, you know, just shows you how confused we are as a species, because you've got we will never get anywhere. We will never have any harmony on this planet as long as we're all running around with these different ideas about religion and God. Just remember, like I said, belief in God was around a long time before religion. And then you might start thinking about, maybe I should try to relate to my fellow man just based on what I intuitively know is right.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, you're welcome, Clarence. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to who we got, Francis from East Baltimore. Francis, what's your take?
All right. Thank you for taking my call, Brother Haradi.
You're welcome.
First of all, I just want to say everybody that says that they're a Christian is not a Christian.
Gotcha.
And so when we hear about these things that's happening and somebody says, that you have a lot of organizations that say they're Christian for one purpose, taxes. if they can save money and taxes and all kinds of benefits, yes, they're going to open up under the guise of a Christian organization.
Sure.
First of all, we must know people have problems in life. So wait a minute. So when we go to these organizations, if we go to a church, you expect people to come in with issues. You expect people to come in with issues. So you don't turn them away because you find that you know, the sister, the issue you're talking about, you know, she got children with different fathers. That lady is seeking counseling. She's looking to improve her life. You don't turn her away because you feel like she doesn't meet your qualifications. That's why she went there. She's looking for help. She's looking for somebody to guide her on the right path. So, you know, when you talk about somebody talking about this is the way of the Christian, no, that's not a Christian organization. Just like the other brother said before my call, those are private schools. They call themselves different organizations, Christian organizations. That's the benefit of the money. But true Christian churches, they don't do that. Mm. They look for people like that so they can help them in their life, to put them on the right path, to show them the right way, not to tell them, hey, listen, you're going so bad, we can't help you. That's not a Christian faith.
Hey, I
got
that's
you. All I wanted to say.
Thank hey, Francis, thank you for checking in from East Baltimore. Shakita checked in on my Facebook page and said, just my thought, if those rules and regulations were set in the guidelines and they signed the contract, then they have to abide by the contract. I don't think it has anything to do with judgment. It has everything to do with what the contract said that was signed. There's another point about that. Maybe we should have some contracts in the hood. Can we have some hood contracts? Like, you know, stop the killing, stop hating on each other, can we have some, and if we abide by those contracts, can we do that? Can we change our community? Can we clean up the hood a little bit? Make it a little bit safer and decent to live in? Can we do that? Maybe we need to have some hood contracts. Because if it's about a contract, like, hey, man, you violated the contract, man. You got to go. But, okay, let's think about this, folks. Like, if you go into certain neighborhoods, you cannot act a certain way. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Stop. Don't even act like you brand new. Like, I don't never know. No. You go into certain neighborhoods, whether it's in Baltimore or any other major city across this country, and you start wilding out. You start acting other than yourself. You start doing all this other type of stuff. Guess what's going to happen? They don't care if you live there or not. You got to go. I'm going to put that out there. So is this situation any different? Let's go back to the phone lines. 410-319-8888. Y'all ain't enough time to get to all of y'all tonight. Miss Rita, what you got to say, ma'am? Thank you for checking in, for your patience.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's amazing how you actually segued and referenced how there ought to be bylaws in the hood. Because actually there was a time where there was a code that we as a community, we upheld within our own. We had a standard, and I think what happened is eventually it got diluted with liberalism and this new generation's view and ideals in regards to liberalism and democracy, and all of these words were used as tools to enforce some sort of, like, a free spirit, a kind of free spirit. And I think what's going on in the church is the same thing. You have this youth, this generation that wants to be free in any type of behavior, and they want to enforce it and infuse it with Christian values, and you cannot. You're either this or that. That's just the way it is. But I'm not even going to stay there because I know you got time. You don't have that time.
But Miss Rita, can I interject? Miss Rita, can I interject one thing? Because you know what came to my mind when you said that, Miss Rita? You can't serve two masters. That's the thing that came to my mind. You cannot serve two masters. That's the big thing. So if there's this level, if there is this liberalism that you're saying, like, there was a standard, and I agree, and I think many people would certainly agree, there was a standard in the community, just like there's a standard in the church, there's like a standard in the mosque or any faith institution. But then when you start, when things change, and I think that's a good point. I think that's a very valid point. Let's go back to the phone line. I want to hear from Tom, New York. Thank you for checking in, Tom. What's your take on this?
This is Tom from New York. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
All right. I've been listening to this, and I think there's one thing I agree with that I heard earlier is that we are not hearing the whole story on this.
Sure.
I mean, every school has rules that'll keep you in and keep you out, but I have a feeling that none of the ones that led to these girls being expelled had to do with the Bible. I mean, you think about this. If that was the case, if you look at the Ten Commandments, is there any sin that's worse than any other sin? You can't do it. Otherwise, my God, that school would have nobody in it whatsoever. I mean, just take a look at it that way. And besides that, the girl's mother is obviously trying to give them an education that she feels they need.
Yeah.
Okay? Regardless of what it is. And for that school to expel them because of something like that, that would not be very Christian.
Mm.
Just saying.
Just saying. Tom, you're saying a lot, though.
Okay. Well, I'd love to hear what this entire story is behind this.
You know what?
I have a feeling at the end it's not going to look the way...
Yeah, that's the thing. And I mean, we got this initial report, but it will be interesting. And I appreciate you, Tom, for checking in all the way from New York. I would be interested to hear how this situation plays out just as well. Let's go to Wayne out of Bel Air, Maryland, checking in. Wayne, what's your take, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Friday?
I'm good, Wayne. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, my take on this about these children, these two little girls. Now, they're in school doing good, and the biggest thing of all, when did they ask to be born?
Come on.
So what I'm trying to say is, that's God's will. God put them here. And you got a preacher or a minister, whatever, pastor, whatever you call him, says it's because they got two fathers, they can't do the education, and they're doing really good. And education, anytime you get a child nowadays that's doing good with education, leave that child alone. If anybody needs to put out that school, is that preacher or pastor, whoever he was, whoever he is.
Gotcha. I hear you.
So you got a child. You got a child doing good. You know, you can't mess with a child doing good nowadays with all this hate and all this other content and stuff out here in this world today.
So Wayne, I'm gonna throw this out again. Regardless of whether the mother signed a contract saying that she would abide by certain rules, because I'm gonna put this in, and you may not have heard this. According to the pastor, he told the mother there were many reasons, and the main one was because she was not married and she had children at different by different fathers. There were many reasons.
Many reasons. But then again, back to the children's father even. Are they both still living? What? Maybe she's getting married.
I don't know. That's a conversation. That's a conversation.
Then again, you're a preacher. Or priest, pastor, whatever you call yourself, who are you to judge?
Well, is it really about judgment as it is about following rules?
But
I mean, if the pastor speaks about and I was talking to this with my team off air, and I said, we're living in a time, and folks, I know you might not like this, but this is where we are. We're living in a time. If they preach too hard about one thing, if they preach too hard about homosexuality, if they preach too hard about, you know, anything that the Bible speaks against or anything that the Bible, you're going to lose somebody in the course of that preaching.
Right. They're going to find out something and go the other way. You're right. My biggest thing, like, he's got children doing good, man. Leave them children alone.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
Give them something better to encourage them to be even better in school with their awards and stuff.
I got you. Hey, Wayne, I appreciate you for checking in from Bel Air, Maryland. Thank you so much, sir. John, from Randallstown, what's your take on this, sir?
Faraji.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I take this on two levels.
Okay, let's go.
One, in that I see this as a Catherine Pugh type thing, where you didn't disclose something that was going on. Because these kids, you said it was second and fourth grade. Was this the first year these kids was at the school?
No, the school, they have been, according to the report, they've been there for years.
Okay, so therefore she did, like, as the pastor said earlier, she did not disclose what she's supposed to let be known. Same thing with Catherine Pugh. She didn't tell what was supposed to be. So ethically, the kids had to, it said that the kids had to get hit with it.
Yeah.
But she didn't follow the rules. You got to see this from the business side, not just the church side.
Yeah, we've been talking about it from more the community side. So you're the first one to bring it up from that side, John.
I mean, because a lot of people are looking at this just as the church.
Yeah.
But that pastor at that time, he was acting out of the administration part of the school like you said, she signed the document. When you sign a document, you got to read the fine print. The devil is in the details.
That's the part of that's and you know what? We had Dr. Lawrence Richardson again, and I wanna emphasize this. He said he took his children had gone to three different private Christian schools, and they have at each school they all had to sign forms that was just like this form. It sounds like for Chapel Hill Christian School. That they, if you don't abide by the rules and the conduct, whether you're talking about the child or the parent, guess what? They have the right and the power to remove you from the school. Let's go back to the line. Let's go to Joy, Northwest Baltimore. Joy, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Hey, Faraji, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Number one, there are a lot of critics out here.
First
of all, we have to look at this. This is a private school where the standards are different. And like the pastor said, if your standards are different, guess what? We're going to sign an agreement to be sure we have a level of understanding and appreciation for what we're doing at this location.
Mm.
And when we want to, we've gotten away from setting standards that are high. We always want to look at changing the standards to meet this scenario or meet that scenario.
Mm.
That's how come our schools are going down, because we're setting lower and lower standards. We need to keep our standards the same. We need to be sure we're supporting the institutions that we want to be a part of. What about the other parents who are at that school, who are in agreement with those rules and regulations and guidelines and signs? Those documents and said, yes, I'm willing to adhere to it. She's not the only parent at that school.
Mm.
So the thing is, we have to look at the bigger picture.
So do you enjoy?
She could have gone to.
Yeah. So do you? I want to kind of shift the setting of this just very quickly. Do you think that you mentioned that because we don't have standards, that's the reason why we're finding our schools, but can we even toss them? That's why we're finding our own communities in the condition that it's in?
I would agree, because the thing is, when we keep changing our standards and lowering them, what do we get? We want our children to strive for excellence. Mm. And excellence is not perfection. If you strive for excellence, your excellence is different from my excellence. But if we never tell our children there's a star to shoot for, how do they learn that there is something that they can shoot for?
Gotcha.
President Obama gave us the bar. He gave us the bar. I mean, I can't say that who's in the White House right now is even on the bar at all, but there's a standard.
Yeah, I got
you. We have to stop loosening our standards to accommodate. We have to help our children understand that it's not going to always be their way. But guess what? They have the power within them to do and to be.
All right, got you. Joy, I got to let you go, but that's a very strong point. Thank you for checking in. I'm going to try to get my last two callers in. Let's go to Stan from Baltimore and then end it out with Tony G from Northeast Baltimore. Stan, what's your take, sir?
Well, my take is this, is that you have the point, again, that if she signed a contract that spelled out certain behaviors, they have morals clause in the contracts of athletes, of folks who are doing endorsements, all those kind of things. So they have morals clause in there. But here's the thing, too, that if they specified certain morals or certain behaviors, then that's one thing. Mm-hmm. If they said something like you have to be of good moral standards, then I think also that you can turn that around and say, well, are the people who are teaching these children and who are managing the school, do they meet the same level of standards?
Mm.
And if they don't, then I think that lady has a case. you know, it's about like well, Brown versus the Board of Education, where the issue was whether or not kids going to different schools could get equal education, and they said that no, you can't get equal education from different schools. There will always be a variation. So by the same token, I'm thinking that if you have this morals thing, this morals clause or this morals contract, and I'm sure he has his staff doing the same thing,
yeah,
but the staff is not examined.
Absolutely.
You know, does this then open, okay, well, you want to examine my life and you want to examine this portion of my life. Well, I want to see the records and behaviors of your staff that is teaching my child as well.
Hey, Stan, that's a great point. Thank you so much for checking in. Tony G, I want to give you the final word, sir. What you got to say?
I really think it's a whole lot of layers to that. If you're asking if it's just right or wrong with the school did, I think it's wrong because of the kids. And I understand what you're saying. Organizations have a right to set their own standards. But if you think about it, most of our churches today, they have standards. They have tax exemptions, standards and everything. But the churches and those people who set them standards are so corrupt themselves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who judges who? Mm. I've gone through child support, and I mean, that's kind of personal, but what I understood when I stood in front of the judge, when he said, what's in the child's best interest?
There it is. There it is.
That's what you need to take into consideration. What's in
the child's best interest?
You're talking about grown-ups making these decisions for kids. Mm. On both sides, even if the mother, parents do that, especially if you're impoverished, if you haven't had a good life. Parents struggle and they do things not necessarily above board, but they do those things in interest to better their child's life. We just had the incident when
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm sorry about that. I had to cut you off, but we gotta rock and roll. But look, man, this situation is very deep. Now, look, when we got this information, this was like a trending topic. More information is coming out about it. But check out, just Google Chapel Hill Christian School and see how the information is coming through right now, because there's some new information about it that according to another article, that the pastor informed Ms. Summer Grant that having two children by different fathers and living with a third biologically unrelated man to whom she is not married violates the school's covenant. Mm. She's in a situationship. That just leads to more issues. Don, I want to thank you so much for posting that information on my Facebook page and sharing that new piece of information. John put it out there, and I like the way John said it. He said he didn't remove her from the church. He removed them from the school. Still two different things. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation tonight. Hopefully this conversation expand our view about how we see ourselves and everything. So I want to thank you for on air and certainly online for being a part of the conversation. Stay tuned. Up next, it's my big sister, LaDawn Black, giving you that cool jazz for your Friday night. So stick around with that for In the Groove. Thank my dynamic production team, Ms. Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my production assistants, Amrita and Durrell, and of course my engineer, Drede, for making me sound so good. Make sure you continue the conversation on my social media platform at Faraji Muhammad, and of course, WEAA. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right, while being yourself in the process. I look forward to having another great set of conversations with you tomorrow, right here on For the Culture, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.